Good evening. Welcome, everybody, to The Spin, January 17th, 2024. We're back from Miami. At least I am. It looks like Tyler is as well. John never left.
Never left. Office. Yep.
Tyler, do you, have you been able to recover yet?
I'm getting there. It's still... Woo! I think it's going to be like this for a little week. It's not as... Sorry, it's not as painful as it was, but yeah, it's going to take a minute. I believe I pushed it to the point where it was pretty painful while I was there. So you got to pay the price on the other end.
Yeah, you sounded pretty bad on Sunday, and it's not improved much.
I went back and watched some of those videos, and I was like, man, it was pretty bad. Like, my wife didn't believe that it was me on the phone. I called Sevon while I was there, and he was like, this is not Dollar. And so I didn't think it was that bad, but it was evidently pretty bad.
Maggie, met her. So thank you for becoming a new member. Appreciate it.
I did too. She was really nice.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty cool. Met a lot of fans. That was pretty fun. And it was not John's fault. So
it typically is though. So like, you know, it's not unfounded.
All right. We'll get into it. We'll start off with viewer comments. A little underwhelming this time, let's say the least. So make sure, if you're watching this, watching back, or you're not in the chat live and you think of something, drop it in the comments. We'll catch it up next week. A lot of these actually were coming from the daily behind the scenes, but I wanted to kind of read these out, get some reactions if need be. B Sparks DC. If any of you have met James Sprague, you know that the dude is the most kind-hearted human being and a fierce competitor. Only 21 years old to root for that man. He's basically Noah Olson. I mean, Noah Olson, Cole Sager combined. Like, the dude is about as nice as
do not put Cole Sager in that court. Noah Olson.
From a being nice standpoint, 100%. 100%.
Yeah. No, Sprague's amazing. I love hanging out with him.
Sprague was great. Mista Meaner 1. I love Rebecca. She's great and funny. Always rooting for her to do well. It's big Becca season. Blame Hopper.
Yeah.
I'll take that for what you will. Whatever was going on with that.
It's just me and him trying to fight each other the whole time.
Dude, Hopper was everywhere. Even if he wasn't competing Thursday, Friday, he and Dallin were just walking around, cracking jokes, laughing.
They were both tired because they wouldn't go to bed because they'd stay up screwing around like a bunch of freaking 19-year-olds.
No, I mean, it was hilarious. You'd be walking down one of the vendor areas, and all you'd hear is Hopper's voice or laughter, and you know he was out there somewhere. And yeah, those guys were awesome. Tyler should be on a Marlboro ad. He's on his way. Ricky and Kotler make such a good team. Tyler, you spent a lot of time with, especially with Kotler.
Yeah. Ricky. Kotler, the last 2 days, we talked a lot, and Ricky and I kind of made friends, after I asked him if he was a redneck and several other invasive questions. I was skeptical of Kotler. You know, I don't know how much of people's, you know, John, you haven't had that much exposure to hanging out with people live, right? Mm-hmm. So you have these ideas of who they might or might not be in your head. And then, like, I'm sitting there with Kotler on the last day during the awards ceremony. And man, like, we're just chatting it up like we knew each other forever. I mean, that dude's genuine. And I just wasn't expecting that. And then Ricky's the same way. Like, Ricky, I felt like I could take him to Eastern Kentucky and he'd fit right in, man. He just, he felt like I could take him to the farm and I felt like I could take him to a 5-star restaurant sort of thing. So.
Is this true? Does Kotler make good steaks?
I have no idea. I've been told he's a good cook.
And then the last one, I told you there weren't very many. At first, I thought DeCoons was slamming a Miller Lite. I would have respected him much more. So,
probably some Jocko Go.
If you didn't catch it, I caught up with DeCoons on one of the behind the scenes. He was hanging out at the CrossFit tent. Figured I'd go say hi. Caught a few minutes with him. And yeah, I think it was a Liquid Death that he think he was drinking. But
oh yeah, they do look like Miller Lights. They're tall like Miller Lights, and they're white. Yeah,
yeah. They had the. I mean, if you wanted water, that's pretty much the only option you had. They didn't have a free water station this year, which was crazy. So,
yeah,
if you wanted water, it was basically a $6.50 Liquid Death.
I was trying to trade. I think I had my max one day was like 1500 milligrams of caffeine, and I think I had two Liquid Deaths for every one of those. So I was just full of liquid the entire day.
Yeah, yeah. What was the purpose of the CrossFit tent? So they were doing CrossFit Open registrations.
I was also confused about this PC.
Yeah, they were doing that. They were having some meetings with affiliates, or affiliate owners were coming over and chatting with them. I don't know all of the details. It was in a kind of tucked away corner, so they didn't get as much traction as they had last year. Last year they had a great location. They had a pull up rig there, so they were doing some teaching and stuff. They didn't have that this year. It seemed to be primarily focused around doing some open signups, meeting with affiliates if they wanted to stop by and chat. Craig Howard was there on Saturday, I think. So they're having some meetings. I can't talk either. It's been rough.
Yeah. I was going to say, I was listening to you the other day and I was like, oh, his voice is kind of cracking up too.
Monday, I was bad shape for sure. It started.
It happened to everybody. It happened to PC and it happened to Bella. So I don't know if I had something and I gave it to you all or what.
Yeah. Should have been giving out free water instead of free rain.
I disagree. Yeah, that shit kept me going.
All right, let's go look at some predictions. So last week we left off, we shared our predictions. I think we did better than we thought we did. Now, we didn't do much in terms
speak for yourself, man.
He is speaking for himself. He got second in the world.
We'll get to that here in a second.
I've ever had.
We'll get to that here in a second.
John, I think we lost your mic, by the way.
Yeah, I think it's on the...
Can you hear me?
It's a little echoey. It may not be on your headset.
Give me a...
But, so...
Holy here are shit, the look at all that green, man.
So the top 10 predictions on men... You'll see on the left there, we have the results of top 10. And then there are our picks. So if you were green, that means you were within two spots. So nice. if you picked like Sir Gerard, I have him in third. He finished first, so he's within two. Black means they're both in the top 10. Red means you failed.
We all had at least two reds.
So can y'all hear me now?
Yeah, that's better. That's better. Roman Krennikov obviously was the biggest disappointment from a placement standpoint, all picking first. Alex Vigneault, for you guys, not even close to the top 10. Nick Matthew, Luke Parker, Mertens and Hatfield were close, but maybe not quite in fifth. So I will call out Tyler. Quant's third place pick was money.
Beautiful, Tyler. That might have been your best call of all time. I got that might have been your best prediction that you've ever had, because.
Which is hilarious because I'm always low on Quant. It just seems poetic, doesn't it?
And we're usually higher on him, you know, or I usually am, man.
Yeah.
After this weekend, this is the problem. I'll start getting biased because I meet people and I start liking them. I met Quant and he liked the fantasy app, and you know, we chummed it up for a while. He's a good dude. He's a lot more personable than you would think. I thought he was very reserved and not really talkative. That is false for both him and Jack Farlow. They're very personable people.
So yeah, I talked with Farlow on Friday night, and yeah, he was you think of him as more quiet and reserved, but he was very personable.
Yeah.
And talking with Quant after that, the deja vu, he kind of admitted that he didn't he wasn't feeling that bad after the second interval. He's like, I this is kind of weird and sounds bad, but I was feeling pretty good. Like he shouldn't have felt that good. So, I mean, if he has that capacity, he could be dangerous in 24, which we'll get to in a bit. Any surprises on this top 10? Looking at it.
So I kind of tried to poke around Rosa to see what was going on with Roman. And I did it lightly, and it was at the end of it. It was towards the end of an event, so they probably weren't really focused on me. But I was like, hey, man, this is uncharacteristic of Roman. I was like, he's not doing bad. It just seems like he's a little flat. And I can't remember the guy that was with them, but he was basically like, he's just like, he's a little tired. He's been traveling a lot. It's just a bad day. Like, that's what they nailed it up to.
Too much travel from South Korea.
Ricky's been traveling a lot too. It didn't hurt him.
Yeah, no, Ricky was strong the entire weekend. I don't know. I mean, it could be some of it, the changes to the workouts. It definitely was a different type of competition than I think we all expected going into it, because of the weather. I can't imagine that Roman's the best at 60 pull-ups, strict pull-ups.
The changes in the workouts hurt Roman a lot. Like, every change that they made was to his detriment. Mm-hmm. I think you could say the same with Danielle Brandon. Every single change, and they changed like three of the five workouts, were to their detriment. So like if it's only five events and you're all one of those events, you're not going to do good, period, with the snatch. I'm surprised he's that low. But it doesn't take away with how he's going to do with the games. If they did 15 events, then he would be, in my opinion, I think he'd be up to third place if they did 15 events. And his worst events were in the first five. But
yeah,
it's, you know, it is what it is on the competition. I mean, he did get eighth place. I do think it makes me think twice about who I think is going to win the games, because – you know, Ricky looked great the whole time. It's hard not to take that away. And I thought they were 1 and 2 coming into this. And when one of you is trash and one of, and I don't mean that in a mean way. Like, this whole event, Wodapalooza, with the change of the events, was not set up for him to do well. And it was set up for Ricky to do well. So like, I take that into account. It's just, I thought he would be better than eighth. You know, they didn't hurt Vellner that bad. They didn't hurt Quant that bad. Those are both big guys. Fikowski, you can't tell me 60 strict pull-ups was good for Fikowski, and he got second. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I still think he's going to be top three at the games. Top two.
I think, it's like, it just goes, you know, you go sort of into the cave. A lot of the athletes were saying that after this event, it's all focus. You know, this is the last fun thing they do, and it's training time. And a lot of, you know, a few of them said like, yeah, I'm not really prepped yet. So I don't disagree, John. I think this is fine. It's not the best, but.
Yeah. Question for you guys. How would the field fare if there were eight events?
Well, I think we'd have we might have two monostructural events, you know, maybe like they run that trail, mm-hmm. you know, and that'd be one of the events. Guess who's going to do good in that event, Roman. He would have been higher, but I mean, I don't think he gets past fifth with eight events. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you look at the people ahead of him, none of them were showing any weakness.
Jack Farlow, I think Farlow and Sprague are the biggest surprises of the whole competition. Farlow, Sprague, and Vitteson. And you can chop that up to like, they were good events, but, I don't think they were great events for Farlow and Sprague, and they still got fifth and seventh. I like when they changed that workout to burpees and front squats. That is a tall man's nightmare compared to short people. Yeah. When Mertens kills the whole field by 30 seconds, that means James Sprague and Brent Fikowski are not having a good time. That's what that means. And for James Sprague to still get seventh in this. And I mean, I know they got set up good for that swim event. I know, but you're going to have home run hits and you're going to have events that are bad for you. But typically that means you're not going to get top five whenever you're back and forth the whole time.
Right.
Right. And Farlow and Sprague were the most impressive people at the whole competition, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think they're coming in 2024 and people need to take notice.
Yeah. I want to talk on the recap, the last segment. I definitely want to get your thoughts on Hatfield. But we'll get sure. we'll focus on the predictions at this point. For the women, not quite as good as the men.
Nowhere close, man.
Spiegel down in 19th. I did not have her in the top 10. You guys told me, oh, there's a weightlifting event. It's 20%. That didn't pan out. Kerstetter.
I had her 10th spin. I was with you. I just wasn't as with
you. You had her in the top 10.
Where did you have her? 13th? You act like we had her like this.
I had her like 20th. I don't know. You'll never know because I had her didn't have her in the top 10. Matilda Garnes definitely hurt a lot of people. What do you make of this? Like, why would the men be much easier to predict than the women on this?
I'm wondering go ahead, John. Sorry.
I think the changes in events affect the women a lot more than they do the men. For instance, especially because it's strict pull-ups, like all of a sudden it's just who's the best at strict pull-ups. Basically, the big girls got no shot because of that. And you say that, and Gabby McGowan still goes out there and gets second and crushes it. But Gabby McGowan is still, top five fittest woman in the world, right? Yeah, so
very fit.
I think when it gets down, like the less fit you get, the lower tier of fitness you get, especially for the women, that amount of strict pulling, I think, just plays a role so much more. And we made our predictions before the event changes. I just think the event changes as a whole affected the competition for the women more than they affected it for the men. I still think it affects it, period. But, I do think it affected the women more.
Tyler, do you agree?
Did you say programming affects it more than the women? Yeah.
Changes in the events.
Yeah. Well, also, but I'll add to the top of that, like, it makes me wonder if the men are so tight that it almost always truly comes out to who the fittest is, right? They're all so good at things. But like with women, there seems to be a little bit more pigeonholing going on where it's like, I'm really good at this one thing. And there's so many, like all the girls are different like that. And so the programming changes can really affect the leaderboard. That's the only thing that makes sense to me on top of what you said, John. Now we can't hear you at all. Sorry, I had to go get this.
I have myself on mute. My bad.
There you go.
You look at it, the top five that we had were all relatively correct. I mean, except for Tyler's egregious call with Danny Spiegel. But like, other than that, like, we're all pretty darn solid. But that's because, like, when you get to the fittest of the fit, programming matters less and less. And then at the bottom five, we're all trash. I want to give props to Spin and Brian Friend. I know we don't want to. I'm going to give props to them because they both were. Was it teams or was it individuals?
I got you, right here.
Teams.
Yeah,
the
teams, they both
the top 10 they, teams.
They tied for first in the whole world with teams, and I just think we should commend both of them because they beat everybody. They were the best. They were the best analysts for this competition. And I want to tip my hat off to them both, both the Bryans, because they killed it and nobody else did.
Yeah, that was
even
wild.
With the changes of the events.
I did not look at Heat one time all weekend long.
You said it and forget it.
Yeah, like I did not.
I did too for this competition, and I really shouldn't have.
Wow.
I couldn't with the top 10, right? I couldn't change it, but even the event picks, like I was just too busy to worry about it. And it got to be Sunday before event five. And I had some downtime. I decided to kind of see where I was. And I think I was second and Brian was third. And then it swapped. I moved down to third. He moved up to first, and then I caught him on the final event.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're watching that, and you're like, there's a lot of people that were very close there at the end, and I'm like, how much am I going to move? And we both moved a couple points. And so we ended up tying. And for those who don't know, what is the tiebreaker, Tyler?
It's the number of correct picks you have. So based on the scoring system, like you get 10. So technically you could never, which is impressive because you did this, you never got a single pick absolutely correct. You were always off by one or something, but you made up for points because Brian had some picks that like really hit him.
I had less zeros. I had one less zero than him.
Yeah, he had two absolute correct picks, so he took it over you.
Yeah.
I don't know what's more impressive, that he picked two absolutely correct or you didn't pick any and still almost won.
Yeah, I think.
I'm going to say whoever's first place is more impressive. Have you set that as a tiebreaker? Like,
I know. Won.
It's more impressive.
I agree. I mean, I set the tiebreak. But yeah.
It's kind of crazy you could tie him with that for sure. Yeah, but that's what
I'm saying. I had a few that were, I had more in the top 10. I think he had a couple that were out. The Mayhem group definitely didn't help. I think the RX Smart Gear is one that hurt everybody, I would think. But
your 90s trend, your 90s trend girls, murdered it.
They did very well. I had RX Performance
Team, please.
Yeah, I had
just say Kelsey Kills Team, please.
Hey, Kelly Baker's got the highest credentials on that team.
Or Kelly Baker. I don't care. Just don't say the name.
I said 90s trend. I didn't say the whole name.
And then, like RX Performance. Like when I started going through all of the picking the teams, what I noticed was it was all the known names, right? So like you could tell that people were going through and they were finding who they knew and they just threw them in there. And then the problem was if they were not known because they were more team-based athletes who've been to the games multiple times, they were outside that top 10 and you had to go searching for them because their average was like 10.8. And so you had to go look for them. And I think that's where some people got burned, is that they were just kind of using what the average rank was of everybody that was already picking. And some people got left behind and I moved them up and got extra points.
Yep. And it was, It was clear to me that people didn't or couldn't do their homework on the teams. I mean, it was really hard. And that was the thing that we learned more than anything, was if you're going to run a teams competition like this, you need to spend weeks, if not months, talking about who's going, which is difficult because we didn't know. And the teams changed on daily. I mean, hell, there was a team with two people on it at one point. Mm-hmm. But you have to do that storytelling.
Yeah. And it's tough to follow who is everybody, right? Like if there's a team name like Invictus, you have an idea who it is, but when they make up their team names, it's really tricky to know who they are. And you have to click through each one of them, think about it, move them up, move them back, etc. So it's a tricky one, but I couldn't believe that I was actually tied for first. And
I lost on a
tiebreaker.
Oh, congratulations, sir.
Yeah. I had forgotten that that wasn't the league that won $1,000. And I was like, I'm not paying either of them $1,000.
Was it just for Indy?
It was Indy top 10 and then team shot caller.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, guess what's back?
Blind rankings.
Let's go.
Blind rankings. This time it is Tier Wadapalooza. What does that mean? It means anything at Tier Wadapalooza. You are going to rank it as best to worst of things that have happened or just stuff at Wadapalooza.
All right. What I like about this is that John and I disagree. We have very different perspectives of Tier Wadapalooza.
So you think so?
Well, yeah, because you were at home and I was there.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Different perspectives. And again, it just has something to do with Tier Wadapalooza.
Sure.
That's it. And the number one is the best thing that happened at Tier Wadapalooza. And the number five is the worst. All right. You guys ready?
Yep.
Got it.
Bayside Barge.
Oh, that's. I want to put that at two.
Whoa.
Yeah. No, it was so incredible looking. Like, yeah, I think it was incredible looking, but then at the same time, like, I don't know. What? Why you say four?
This is the thing that they were jumping off of, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, everybody slipped multiple times. This is a PFAA hazard, and I'm all for safety, as we all know. And if a PFAA is going to get more involved, I'm going to rate things as such. You know what I mean? I would rather them just jump off the whole entire Bayside and there not even be a ramp, and then you got to do a muscle up to get back on stage. I think that would have been cool. So I would say four. Honestly, I don't think anything of it. But if you say two, then let's go three.
I'll compromise at three. That's fine. I will say that I talked to like one of the head judges or something, and they were told not to dive off of the walk down board or to the top. And I was like, well, what are you going to do if like somebody like Ricky, because Ricky was the one who ended up doing it.
Ricky, you're not going to do anything. You're just going to be like, hey, don't do that. Okay, I won't do it next time. You know what I mean? Like that's stupid, right? So
I was so happy Ricky did it. I was like, yes.
Yeah, the comparison of Ricky versus Hopper was hilarious. I think the difference is, John, if you were there, the Bayside Barge was a lot cooler in person to see it out there. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how that translated onto the live stream, but all right. Compromise number three. All right. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The weather.
Number one. It was a five.
Yeah. He gave us an easy softball pitch right here.
Maybe. It was fun. I like the moments, like football, when I think back about football, like the moments in the rain when it's just like the elements are really coming at you, and like it was rain. It's rare that it ever rains in a CrossFit event. And they were working out. I just thought it was cool. But yeah, it's a five. It ruined a lot of things.
I hate it when the events get changed. And
yeah,
when three of the five of your events get changed. This is, what are we doing? This is ridiculous. And I mean, I think the best thing about the weather is it did create talking points, because everybody's talking about should there be indoor options, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, this is like two or three years in a row where Waterpalooza.
Waterpalooza sounds
Waterpalooza. Like. Yeah. Like messes. Like, I don't know, bro. Like, I just think do it outside. But just have an indoor option available in the case that happens. You know what I mean? I think any gym would host freaking heats after heats after heats to do the regular event that you have prescribed.
I think you're out of your mind, John. I don't think you realize how many people are there.
No. It might just be like the athletes just go to a gym. You're going to go to this gym and we're going to film it. I think it'd be cool.
The Texas Stadium or whatever has that dome that comes over and covers everything up. We need
do that. You know what I mean? But like, if you don't like across from Wynwood, where Taylor was doing all of his, where Taylor was doing all of his classes, like just take the athletes there and say, we're going to film it. You're not going to be able to see it. It's going to be right here. I would rather watch that than watch the rain stop everybody and we're just doing a whole bunch of strict pull-ups.
All 2,000 athletes to CrossFit.
You got to have multiple CrossFit gyms so you're able to do this. It's Miami. There's a lot. Like, this is a team effort. You want to talk about community? We can make it happen.
You're out of your mind, John.
Yeah, okay, humbly disagree.
Talk about contingency plan. That would be impossible. Yeah.
Okay, here's the plan, guys. We're going to spread out over the entire city. Six gyms. We're all got a piece of this.
Listen, no, you got to have that stuff. You got to have that stuff already. Like, plan.
Here we go. The live stream.
The live stream is pretty good. I didn't have a problem with it.
I have no idea, so I'm going to say two. I got to side with you, John.
All right. I mean, I thought like.
It's better than the Bayside Barge.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like, people talked about, like, the commentary and stuff like that, but I thought the broadcast team, for the most part, did a really good job.
I'll say this from my perspective, I had to work with the broadcast team and they were great to work with. Eric Barnhart, shout out. Another guy, Chris Hammerhead, which I thought his name was really just is really cool. From a, you know, like a 30-year-old. Yeah,
it deserves two alone on Hammerhead.
Yeah. Yeah, they were great to work with. And that's the only perspective. They put my graphics up, so really I should go with number one.
But yeah, and they let Heat 1 tie it. Like, I say number two.
Number two.
This all is right. Good. We got a range here. If we like it, we can put it one. If we don't like it, we can put it four.
Here we go. Oh, shit. He's 310-pound snatch complex.
Four. I could care less. Same. Go run.
Same.
I don't care how strong you are, Gee. The second you stop sucking wind in intervals will be whenever I start rooting for you. Awesome. But whenever it comes to fitness things, whenever you're as bad as you are, and I know you did great. You came ninth. You're a really good swimmer, and that last workout's a lot of gymnastics that you're good at. But if you're getting stronger, you're not getting fitter. And I know people can get fitter and stronger at the same time, but – you didn't make the games last year, bro. Like, if you would have went out and hit 295 and then, like, was – like, Jack Farlow, I was so much more impressed with Jack Farlow than I was Gee.
What did he hit?
He hit 285. That was it. Okay. And it's nothing impressive. And I saw somebody say, Farlow, what the heck? Why are you only snatching 285, right? In my opinion, he's getting fitter. Right? Well, he came in fifth in the whole competition. Like I was so impressed with Jack Farlow. Oh, but he only snatched 285.
All of it is what you're
yeah,
saying.
But he only snatched 285. Yeah. Man, I mean, that's what I take away from it.
Gee was still top 10.
You're right, he was. But these were three events that he was going to do good well. One, he's got an automatic win. He's a good swimmer. And that's two out of the five events. Go look at the other events that he did and how they were. They're not great.
We'll look at those here in a bit.
I talked to Jack a little bit about that, and I beat up on him because I played him for that event because I really had great white hope. And he was like, man, it just had to do with the corral. So I can't disagree. Like, if you're able to hit 285 after being corralled like they were, I think it was like 20 minutes or something, like you're getting fully cold. And he went out there and hit that. And so he was like, I did play it a little safer. I don't know. I was impressed with Jack because he was calm, cool, and collected on it and just hit something that was decent and walked away. So anyway, yeah, Gee, you expect him to hit it. So as far
and if
as
you, like, if you want, go ahead, Tyler. Sorry.
As far as best parts, it's like, well, you know, you kind of know it's coming. So I don't know if it's the best part. Did you like that part at all, Spin?
What, I am the, which part?
Gee's.
No, I did. I liked it because he called a shot a day before. Right. So like I
it's
talked
not to hard like, to call your shot when you're the strongest person and you know it.
Yeah, but the go to do three.
Hey, if you were doing an event competition with you, me, and Tyler, hey, I'm gonna call my shot. I'm gonna win the lift. That's what it's like.
I don't think anybody would have predicted 310 was gonna go up though.
You're right. Absolutely. His 310 is incredible.
And that 310 looks smooth.
Too. Easy. It easy. Man, that's awesome. Go snatch 350. Go do it. I don't care. Like it's expected. You're the strongest dude there. It's expected. I get it. Go get fitter. Right? I expected his 310. It is incredible. I put it at four because it's expected. If you put James Sprague's swim up there, I feel the same way. It's expected. You know what I mean? It's not. Go ahead. Next one. Sorry.
Helping. I feel like this number one is going to backfire again.
No way. John and I are killing this.
You got it?
No, but there you go.
It can't be the weather.
Hopper's rock, paper, scissors strategy.
Oh, I mean, that's great. That's great. It's number one all day. Listen, when it worked, like, I know it wasn't anything, but like when it worked the first time, Tyler's mind was blown.
He could not believe it.
Hopper had this secret mind technique that nobody knew. He thought Hopper was a Jedi, full-fledged, because because it worked that first time, and I want you to watch Tyler. Is this open for people to see, or is it just
I'm gonna, I'm gonna pull it up.
Okay, okay.
Watch
Tyler's face. Watch Tyler's face.
Here we go. Let me stop screen. Here we
go. There's a technique in rock, paper, scissors. Okay. There's a technique in rock, paper, scissors. If you ask somebody their shirt color, it's like 70% chance that they would do scissors because they think of cloth.
Holy shit.
I swear. I swear.
What color is your shirt?
It's black.
All right. Let's go.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
That's crazy.
And then it never worked again.
All right. What color is your shirt?
Black.
Okay. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
All right, you got one left.
Okay. What color is your shirt? Look at it and tell me.
Green.
Okay. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Okay.
Bullshit science.
It's
bullshit.
What color is it? What color?
Black.
It's black? Yeah. All right, let's go. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Never.
What color is your shirt? All right. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
What color is your bra?
Red.
All right. Ready? Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Taylor, Jason's full of shit.
What do you say?
Can you hear me?
And then Tyler goes and tries it. If you're getting tricked by Hopper, that's sad, man.
We had to work to prove him right. It was the best thing because it was the funniest thing that happened all weekend.
It was funny. That first time it worked, Tyler was just blown away.
He's such a turd. He got so lucky. And then he was like, see?
Dude,
why 70%? No one will ever know.
I'm not mad at this list. I do wish Colton's interview was up there because that would be a clear number one. But I'm not mad at this list.
That's a good one.
It was a great weekend overall. I like our I like our rankings.
All right. And now we go to our recap. So Wanapalooza in general. We've talked a little bit about the weather and the modified workouts and how that affected the leaderboard, especially on the women's side. Is there anything you think other than throwing people into every CrossFit gym and then 25 mile radius that Dylan and crew could do to handle something like this? I mean, we had 3 out of 4 days that were impacted by rain. Tyler,
are you asking about the rain?
Yeah. Like, is there anything that they could do, or is it just, you know, unfortunate? Yep. You just have to deal with it.
Oh, you can call Bill Gates. I'm pretty sure he has a weather control machine. No, I mean, like, if you want to host it in Miami, you got to be ready for the rain delays. And like, but I go against John on this. I say you roll the dice, and you know, could you do, you know, program essentially like a rain delay, Wanapalooza, and a regular one? Yeah. I like it here. There's nothing you can do, and you can just do your best. To me, if you moved Wanapalooza away from Miami, I don't know. You just sort of break the spirit of it, I think. But maybe I'm wrong.
I agree with that sentiment. I do think there's like an aura of Wanapalooza. Like, it's a big party, a big fitness party, and I think everybody loves that about it. Everybody knows it's what it is, and everybody loves that about it. But I think we should think about hard, like, what to do if weather is like this, because it ruins the competition. It really does. It ruins it.
You think so?
I do. For like a viewer, and maybe everybody's different. For a viewer, for me, it ruins the competition. And maybe I'm in the minority on that. I just think that like there needs to be not just contingency workouts, but maybe contingency time periods where, hey, we're going to have to do this workout at 7 o'clock in the morning. I would rather them change the times that they do the workout and let it know and let us everybody know a day ahead of time, because you know what weather's coming. It predicts it pretty well. And then be like, we have to do this here, and this here, at least for the elites. Screw everybody else. Everybody else can work out in the rain. All right. But like what we're going to watch, like I think should be the priority. And I think there should be, listen, we might change the time on this. We don't know. We don't know, weather permitting. Hopefully we can do it the right way. But I would rather them keep the same workout and then just change the time frame of each thing. And then we can have our competition. But it just, like, I felt like the weather ruined Wodapalooza. And I felt like that last year too. And so I feel like we have to figure out how to make it not ruin it. And I mean, for the people that are there, maybe they experience a complete different thing. But from a, and I mean, and I'm only one viewer, and in my opinion, matters nothing. It matters what the majority thinks. But I just, it's hard to watch workouts and be really in it whenever you're just doing strict pull-ups in the rain. Like, I want to see races. I don't want to see them have to put the dumbbell down every single time because of safety. You know what I mean? People could have made moves on that dumbbell snatch too in the interval workout, and they can't because they have to put it down every single time. And I just don't like watching it. Like, it's just a different watch for me. And that's just, that's how I feel about the weather.
Yeah. The only thing I heard that may have helped, and I don't, you know, again, the thing we have to consider is, what are you doing, Tyler?
Trying to get my logo in there, and it's not gonna work.
No, not with our screen this way. Is the third event maybe possibly trying to move that to Friday morning, right? So then at least one of them wasn't adjusted. But the problem is you have so many community workouts. Like Friday was packed starting at 8 a.m. All the community events started taking shape. And I just don't know what that entails, trying to move all those pieces around to try to squeeze in Deja Vu Friday morning. Cause that was a fairly long workout. I mean, you had five heats.
For sure. I'm saying you have to move everything around and prioritize the elite individuals. And maybe that's like the wrong way to look at it, because it is a community. There is so many divisions. It is a party. It is meant for everybody, for sure. But what everybody's watching online or at their homes is the elite individual. You know, so like you can, and I think if you told everybody in advance, times can get like you need to look every single day at the updated time slots. We'll give a finals time schedule sheet at 8 p.m. for every individual thing. I don't see why you can't do that. And maybe I don't know, like and I don't know anything, right? Maybe they know they can't do that. But it's just what they got going on right now. It's not great.
Would you rather deal with what with the weather as it is, or, as Barry says, change the venue? I personally don't want to see him leave.
I don't want to see him leave Miami either. I don't want to see him leave Miami either. But I don't think it has to be an either or. I think we can do a better job at dealing with the elements than they are currently.
I don't disagree. I mean, maybe there's a world where having essentially flexible workouts will work, or timing schedule will work. That would be really crazy to like try to pull off, I think. But like, just make rain part of the story. It kind of like right now it's like, oh shit, the rain happened and now we have to deal with it, versus like, and then the rain came and like this is what happened because of it. Like, turn it into part of what Wodapalooza is the elements. And it's like, you know, make it an interesting factor in it. And it sort of is now, but it's not played up enough. It seems like a detriment instead of an asset. And I think you could play it to an asset. I think just like a heat in Texas or something like that. Like, that's why we used to love Texas football teams. Like, they work out in the heat. They work in, you know, or when you go to Green Bay and you play football in the snow, like, that's cool. And I know that that's a reiterated thing, but it's like, it's part of the story. It's cool.
Anyway, I think part of the problem is, I think we all loved the workouts. Like, as written, we all like them. And then when you modify those, you're not able to do the higher skill gymnastics, right? You're not able to do bar muscle ups. You're not able to do chest to bar pull ups. You're not able to do toes to bar because it's so slippery. And so those, all those movements kind of just have to be scaled down, right? The strict pull ups, the front squats, the burpees. And so it's a tough position. I think you live with it. My opinion is you live with it and try to figure out how to make it work. Helping. If they can move mountains for a barge, which is an amazing story from Dylan on Get With The Programming, then they can assess a canopy over Flagler. They can rent American Airlines. I mean, those things I think would cost a fortune. I would hate for it to be inside.
A canopy would cause a fortune?
Like cost. A retractable canopy, I think would.
Oh, yeah. Some type of temporary canopy that retracts or even just is over it the whole time. That sounds insanely expensive.
That you would have every single year. It would just be one time cost expense, and then you never have to worry about
the rain ever again. They ran all this equipment, man. They ran all this equipment. It's not owned by them. It's a huge cost every year. It would be a huge cost every year. Now, is it less than the barge? Like, do you get rid of the barge and trade off for that? I mean, space is the way it is now because the pit, like the fountain, is essentially unusable and unable to be built over. So it's like you're going to lose Bayside. They might be stuck with the barge forever. I don't know. The longer I talk about it, the more I think they might be forced to move.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it worked, right? Like, if the weather was not a factor, the venue itself, the barge, Flagler, everything is great.
Sure, but it is.
But
it has been. It will continue to be.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know how often it rains in Miami.
Every day.
But yeah, I mean,
just about
rains every day for an hour.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd hate to see it move, but
I would too. But like, we're also saying like that it has to move out of Miami. There's got to be another location in Miami they can use. Maybe it's not going to have as scenic of a backdrop, but like, come on. It's Miami.
And I mean, just have one indoor venue that you use just in case.
John, there's no that's going to play worse because people aren't going to make the hike to the new venue. You're going to have like, can you imagine? It's like, okay, we have this one event. We have to do the rain. We have to move to our rain location. No one's been there yet. You have to announce it last moment. Everybody's got to get cars, go over there.
I want to last it last moment. Just it's another venue. This is our DH venue.
I don't know, dude. I don't see it.
Yeah. Like, in case of rain, we have this place that we can go to.
I think the logistics on that are harder than it's worth.
Speaking of moving events, offsite event. So, been the first time in a while they've had an offsite event out in Virginia, Key North Point Park. All of the teams and community divisions, except for the only group that did not, was the Elite Individuals and LATAM Cup. Did we like the idea of an offsite event for something like this?
They did that in Granite Games. I remember it was almost the exact same thing. You remember that? It was like 2017, 18 or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it was televised to an extent, I believe.
Yeah, this one was tough. Like, it was a very remote bike trail, lots of tight areas. I think it'd be really tough to televise that. Mm-hmm. I mean, do we like the idea of something like that? Like, it tests the athletes in a different way, but again, we're not seeing anything.
I don't mind it, but I want to see it. Like, you should have some kind of drone out there, video and everything. And if you can't, then I don't like it.
I wonder how long it would be. I think it would take too long. You could potentially do it if you had some like a really star film crew that could film it and then be able to curate through the stuff and then splice it together so you can create some sort of highlight reel really fast. I think that's a compromise that could work because then you could play it at the event because we were all just there hanging out for the most part. It seemed like hours were passing by. I mean, hours were passing by, but it was like, seemed like forever. And if they had had that highlight reel televised, that I would have been like, this is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a good compromise, I think. But I don't know if that's like possible from a videography standpoint.
Yeah, I haven't. I mean, other than, you know, obviously Logan had his broken ankle, and there was a handful of athletes that did get hurt. Overall, it was a small majority that did. I don't know what the athletes thought of it. I know some thought it was pretty cool, but I don't have enough
intel,
you know, yeah, enough consensus or enough opinions from the athletes to say if they had enjoyed that type of workout or not. But I think it was a lot of work on Dylan's team's part to try to do something like that and set it up for sure. You know, anytime you send another venue up, it's security, it's parking, it's everything that goes into making sure permitting, everything is just required.
Yeah.
It's a big undertaking to do that. See, Travis, offsite where spectators can't go sucks. We pay a lot of money to go and watch. That's a valid point.
I think I'm with Travis on that. I think there should be a way for, if you do offsite, there should be a way for
people to go out and see
people
it.
People to go out and see it. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Team competition. Did we like it?
Yeah.
How was it on the live stream?
Yeah.
Like, how do you mean? Because it sounds like y'all didn't like it. So, like, well, you tell me like what seven, I'm supposed to not like, and then I'll tell you.
Basically, you know, there's 15 teams out there, three individuals each. It's 45 people moving around. How easy was it to follow? Did you like the workout? Like,
yeah, I think they did a good. So, yeah, if you definitely saw who was in the lead the whole time, you saw like the top three teams then in the workout. And for the most part, Sean was really good about telling you when who finished where. You didn't see very much outside of the top three teams. But like the camera was on those three pretty much the whole time. And I mean, you knew what was happening. I was able to follow it the whole time. It wasn't a cluster. If that's what it felt like in person, you could follow it for sure. It's just, if you wanted to see how your team was doing and they weren't one of the top three teams in the event, you didn't see them.
Yeah. How was that any different though than the individuals?
Yeah, because you had the pan out view and you could kind of see everybody. So if you knew who you were looking for, like if people didn't know what people looked like, then for sure it would be like that. But if you knew who you were looking for, you could see where they are because they would pan out. And they did that with teams too, but teams are such a cluster. It's hard to see everybody. It's hard to pick out people. And it wasn't like that for individual. Individual, once they panned out, if you knew who you were looking for, you could figure out where they were and then follow them. Now just might not talk about them, but you could follow them for sure. Teams, other than the top three, it was very hard to see what was happening.
Yeah, from our perspective, so they put media over on the side.
It was impossible.
You could see when they would move to the next step, right? Like you could see if they went from, they moved the worm up, you know, the next stage, or they moved to the barbells, right? Like you saw that. And you knew that they were in the front, but it was hard to keep track, especially like on the what was it, Saturday night event with the barbell cycling, synchro barbell cycling. It was really tough because, I mean, it was just a sea of barbells just flying around and you couldn't.
Yeah, that setup was kind of trippy for sure. Like roll your own barbells out just where you think you need them and then go ahead and go. And Melanie, I said for the most part, obviously he's not perfect, but I said for the most part.
Yeah. I cannot imagine trying to do the commentary for the teams. There's so many athletes trying to keep track of the team names. Like that would be very difficult. Like it's easier on the individual side for sure.
And the one event that I hated that I thought could have been great and I hated it was the sandbag event. Okay, the sandbag event, the way they did that, the way like that just event was programmed was just very easy. Everybody could do it. I think you take me, Taylor, and Hiller, and then we belong right there. Like you would have not known we were out of place because of how easy that workout was. Like, I think they should.
You think it should have been heavier weight?
No. I think they should have done the whole complex just them. So your fitness played a part. Because everybody was within, it just felt like everybody was within 10 seconds of each other. And obviously the last team that finished was way or behind the first team that finished. Yeah. But like when everybody can do everything and nobody struggles with anything, it's just you like runs the fastest. Like that's a 10-minute workout that everybody can do. Like nobody's fitness was able to be shown in that workout. So like, no, I think they should have done that. You had to do the 9 cleans, the 9 squats, and then that same person did the 7 cleans and the 7 squats, that same person, 5 cleans, 5 squats, and then you rotate. So it would be 21
longer.
Yeah. It'd be 21 total cleans and squats that you had to do before you rotated. And then your part was done until the carry. But everybody's not going unbroken on that. That's a lot. 21 cleans and 21 squats. I mean, I don't think very many people at all would go unbroken on that. Maybe 3. Maybe Kelsey Keel, her team would have still probably won that. But my point being is that event was very, I just think, poorly done the whole way around. Because it was just people running back and forth. That event was such a cluster. You could not tell where anybody was. You just left, like, the announcers. You just relied on what they were saying, but you couldn't tell where anybody was. Like, if another team was catching up on another team, you didn't know. Everybody's just cleaning chaotic and running around. Yeah.
Did you like the mix between individual performance versus team performance? So, like, there was 2 workouts with the worm. There were a couple that were more individually based, like the sandbag one was, and like it didn't require too much teamwork. Like, did you like that kind of mix of it there, that it wasn't all team based, there was individual components to it, some strategy obviously of who went when, but
I thought they did that well. I thought there were like 2 kind of individual team events, and then there were 3 team events, and I thought that was programmed well.
Do you look at the team performance and read into it of how good anybody is?
No.
Like, do you care that Team Ice Barrel is whatever place 6?
It doesn't look good. Not really. But like, I think only in a good way.
How so?
For instance, like I think more highly of like Tola and Noah and whatever team they're end up being with. I think more highly of Kelsey Keel and Kelly and Baker and Emil Lundberg. Like I think more highly of them. Nobody expected them to win. They did great. The Norwegian team that ended up sticking around, and nobody else thought they were going to stay. Swedish. They were Swedish, weren't they?
Swedish, yeah.
Yeah. That team that stuck around, nobody thought they were going to stick around. They were there the whole freaking time. The whole time.
Yep.
Like, I thought more highly of them. And, like, if any of their names pop up again, like, you're like, oh, that's another time they pop up, right? But other than that, no. I take away a little from individuals. Still not a lot. For instance, I still think Rome is going to be top 2. It does make me question who I think wins the games, but he moves to 2. That's the lowest he would move. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just not, you know, Valmer got 4th and then his team was not great. They got what, 5th? 5th or 6th?
So, yeah.
I still think he's going to finish where I thought he would in the game. So I don't think any less highly of him. The only takeaways I think you can take are all good takeaways. I don't think you can take any negative takeaways from Wodapalooza because it can be explained away with multiple things, unless you guys feel differently.
I mean, it's hard to tell the mindset of them going into it. Like, how much were they training? How much did they really prep for it? I think that some of the, they should focus on it. Like, it does speak to some of their strategy or thinking about how each of them work through it, right? Like, the fittest team most likely of 3 individuals was Brooke Wells, Bailey Rail, and Paige Powers. Like, I feel like they should have done better than they did.
100%.
Right.
But they didn't.
And you can wash away the worm workouts. But when it came to the swim ones, when it comes to the sandbag, like any of the other ones, like it came down to fitness and they just weren't there. And they may have complete good reasons for it, but it just kind of seems odd.
And I can say the same for frog grips. Like frog grips, and I know I had them ranked a lot higher than you did, but you had them decently high too. Yeah. And they were the same way, just a little bit less so. You know, yeah. I don't think teams does not play a big part into how I think of people individually.
Yeah. All right. So had some interesting interviews while I was there. One of the big ones was the interview with O'Keefe and Mal. O'Keefe,
I guess that should have been on the blind rankings.
Oh, that interview?
Yeah.
A part of it should have been on the blind rankings, but it's not appropriate for.
And somebody asked about the mountain. The mountain has been updated. Brian Spinn vetoed it and said that we will not do another show on it.
That's so getting his DM. No, not yet. Not yet.
Team Iceberg.
So here we go.
What's your other spot? Is Mal competing this year?
I don't know. You know, Mal is. I'm really proud of Mal and where she's at. I think she'll make that decision and tell people where she's at with it in her time. She loves this. She's here this weekend. She works out every day. She's training and. I think, and I'm not speaking for her. I think she's trying to find her way back on the floor at some point. Will it be this year? I don't know. She's the best person to ask that of. I just try to support her on a daily basis, and I'm damn proud of her. She's worked so hard on so many things over the last couple of years, and she's in a great place. Her being here celebrating with this is that's proof of, she really just loves this community, wants to be present, wants to find her way back, to where she wants to be with this whole thing. So, I don't have any answers for you, unfortunately. But
I had to try. Dum, dum, dum.
Do you read any of that, or was it a non-answer?
She ain't competing, man.
Did you get it from that, or is that just your feeling?
Multiple sources.
Okay.
The fact that it's the non-answer this late in the game is an answer in and unto itself. It's time for answers.
I've heard that she'll make an announcement at some point. Don't know when. Don't know what it will be.
Yes, you do.
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
I do not know. At some point, I've been saying this whole time, I don't think she's coming back.
I know I've been ringing that bell. She's coming back, baby. And I'm about to look like an idiot.
You're going to change your mind.
Yeah.
He's going to go on Team Haley. That's what he's going to do.
Speaking of Haley, she was there.
And she's committed, right? She committed to competing.
As far as we know, I mean, it sounds like she is.
I thought she confirmed it.
I think she obviously is working with Haley Murillo. She's made comments about, I think, that she's ready to come back. I don't think there's not been some Instagram post or something that's like, it's official. I've signed up for the open yet. But if I was going to make a guess, I would say Haley's in, Mal is out. And that's fine. Like, if she wants to walk away, that's fine. I have no problem with that.
No.
She doesn't owe us anything.
She owes a sponsor something, but that's not us.
That's not on us. That she was there for rain. And but Haley, every time I saw her, I didn't talk to her, but she seemed happy. She seemed smiling, talking with people.
Hey, this is a great question. I know we are kind of in the weeds with this, so if y'all don't want to answer it, you don't have to. But I think this is a great question.
Well, why did she leave Townsend?
Because of Matthew Fraser.
So she got starstruck and just saw the bright lights, big city?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good question, right? Like, would training have looked different? Would she have been home? Like, there's a lot of things that are different. They both Mal and Haley have returned home. right? There's something to that, to be when you're that young living at home. Emma's been living. Emma Lawson's been at home, right?
Like, I think she would have, man. I don't think she would have gotten to second best in the world.
That might
be. But I think she would have been like kind of where Alexis Raptis is. Like, I think she would have been like third through sixth, but like continually. You know what I mean? Like,
and basically where Emma Lawson is, essentially.
Ah, I guess. I think Emma Lawson's better, but I would say, like, okay, how about this? I would put her in between Emma Lawson and Haley Adams, but her career would have been longer.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Because Haley's kind of routinely like fifth, sixth, right in that range.
Seventh.
Okay, fifth through seventh, that's where Alexis Raptis is, right? I think she's better than those girls, but worse than Emma Lawson if she would have stayed in Iowa. Obviously, this is all speculation. We don't know anything. Sure. But I don't think she would have killed herself as much as she did at Hard Work Pays Off. And I mean, you heard the stories, like Matt's telling her to back off, and she won't. It was very like, nah, right? But I don't think that happens if she stays in Iowa. But maybe it does, you know, like it's I think that's a very interesting question. I hope like people don't care that we're talking about it, because like people can get real like you shouldn't talk about somebody's mental health. But I think it's an interesting.
Well, you look at Haley's moved back. Sprague's moved back. Hopper's moved back home. Olivia Kerstetter stayed at home and never moved out to Proven. Like there's a lot of people that have either stayed where they are or moved back home just even recently, right? Like there's probably something to that about living and training with your, you know, in near your family versus uprooting just for training.
Yeah. I don't know.
You don't have a support system.
Emma Carey's not home.
No.
Just Dallin Pepper's not home. Daniel Brandon's not home. I'm just saying, I'm being devil's advocate.
There's obviously more that have gone and moved, but there's definitely been a lot who have moved back.
Who moved back?
Or that there are,
yes, Sprague from just
what
left.
We see successful at a young age who have not left.
Yeah.
Right? They've stayed home and not pursued that training camp environment.
Who's done it the right way is freaking Sam Quant, because he just trains at home with his brothers, and
He's
a part of Hard Work Pays Off. He does, you know, he works with them. He's got his coach, but he's just at home doing his thing.
Made a Barnhart move back, back closer to family. So, and speaking of Hard Work Pays Off, is there anybody in their gym now?
That's a great question. The strong man. The strong man's there.
The strongest Cooper? Gay.
The strongest gay.
Oh, Kearney.
Yeah. Kearney, and then.
But their roster.
Some training staff.
Their training staff, right?
Like, their training staff is Katrin. Katrin's there, right?
No.
She's in Idaho.
Yeah.
You ever walked into a Wendy's when like no one's in there? It's like. It's like,
just kind of looking
like
around
right now. Thank God somebody's in here. I can make a burger.
I don't know. There's got to be somebody we just aren't thinking of. You think just Matt just walks in the gym? Oh, well, I guess nobody's here today. I'll go bench press. There's got to be somebody. That's a great point.
It looks like Friday night at Freddy's. It's just like they're in there. Dust is collecting on the coaches.
Let's look at their roster here, and we'll go through and see. Here we go.
At least they got sweaters.
Here we go.
All right.
David's daughter. Nope. Idaho.
Nope. Idaho.
Hopper, South Carolina. Brooke, Nashville. Amanda, Ohio. Mal, Iowa.
MIA.
She's in Iowa.
Jake is out in
Australia.
Yeah, that one. He doesn't count.
Christine, somewhere in the Midwest.
Missouri.
She was never.
Yeah.
Missouri. I don't think she was ever confirmed a HWPO athlete, though.
I don't know. Where does Quant live? Kansas? No, that's Heppner. Where's Quant live?
He lives in up
Washington.
North.
Yeah, I think Washington. We'll say Pacific Northwest just to not be wrong. And Jacqueline Dahlstrom is out in Europe. Cole Grieshaber, I have zero idea where he lives.
He's there. Cole Grieshaber is making a monster right
Getting
now.
All the
Cole Grieshaber is in the lab right now, and Fraser is creating Frankenstein. That's what's happening.
That's a good point. Everybody dropped out, and he's getting all the attention.
He's like, this is my time. I'm Grieshaberstein. That's what's about to happen.
Cole Grieshaber, next CrossFit Games athlete or winner right here.
Oh, scratch it. He's in Kansas City. Patrick says he's in Kansas City. No. Nope. Well, Cole's going to not. You're trash. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Cole.
And is there anybody else? Victor Hoffer in France. So there you go.
Doing French stuff.
It's a really nice gym for the fittest gay.
You better watch it, John. Victor's a fan. We don't need to be losing him.
I'm not. What did I say? He's in France. Stuff. He's doing French stuff. That's not.
That sounds derogatory to me, dude.
No, it is not. If somebody was like, I'm in America, I'm doing American stuff. I'm like, that's cool, man.
Like, yeah, you're doing trashy shit. That's an insult.
No,
for sure.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Victor Hoffer is like the prettiest man there is in CrossFit.
How do we feel about Mertens doing proven programming?
Pardon? I don't know.
Dude, he programmed for himself for so long. He's a smart dude. I ain't worried about him at all.
I kind of feel the same way. I don't know how I feel about it until I see him, you know, in a competition.
He's also he's got enough balls where if he's doing a bunch of running, but he'll buy in for a couple weeks and he'll be like, "No, this is stupid." Like if it's dumb, he'll tell him.
Colton is very, very smart. Like I kind of trust. Whatever he's doing, he's fine. Because, like, he's very smart.
Yeah.
That's not saying that other people aren't smart. I just know that Colton is smart is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't worry about Colton.
I mean, in talking with him, I mean, I think he wants maybe more ideas on how to attack his weaknesses versus trying to come up with it on his own. And he's been friends with Nick Johnston since – I don't know, 2016, 2015, 17. I don't know, whenever the OC3 Black was around and CrossFit Kilo. I mean, those guys were basically neighbors battling each other. And so they knew each other.
Now, if he doesn't make the games next year or, you know, comes 31st place or something, some ridiculous spot like that, then I'm worried about Colton. But until that happens, I'm not worried about him.
Yep. Yeah. He trusts Nick Johnston and knows Taylor very well. When you look at the individual field, biggest mover that you're going to say changes your opinion of how he or she will do in 2024.
Vittison, for sure.
Vittison?
Vittison.
Yeah. That chain might be. I mean, like,
okay,
I
then what she got? She got 25th in the games last year, right?
Yeah,
now what I'm saying is nobody expected her to get 25th in the games, nobody picked her for the games, and then she made it a last minute miracle at semifinals. And then nobody thought she'd make the first cut, she did, and now she was 25th. How significant do you think she's going to improve based on what she showed you this weekend?
I was not convinced she would even make the games this year. I thought she
She got 25th last year. I'm saying, you know, like he said, what Spin said is who in your head has moved the most that's going to be in 2024 CrossFit games. You think she's going to do better than 25th?
So think about this way.
I'm not saying
think about Paige Powers came into Wadapalooza last year, wins it. Obviously, you know, I don't think that we have a situation like that, but we all looked at Paige as, oh, okay. I think she's real now. Like we expect her to do really well in the 2023 season. Do we think we'll see that jump from Vittison, like where she was 25th this past year and now she's top 10? Is there anybody else that we think?
See, that's what I'm saying. I don't see that from her. I think she'll be the same spot she was last year at the games. In that range.
Right. 20 to 30. I didn't think she was going to make it back at all. I thought she was going to do worse this year. That just is how it is. I'm not saying she was like, she would be the most moving athlete, but she'll be one of the most. She was the one that surprised me the most. And I think she has a chance now to, like, if she got over 20th now, like 18th or something, I'd be like, man, that's amazing. I was not expecting to see that much improvement out of her, is what I'm saying. What about you all?
I think Vidison is probably the one that I think will probably be the one on the radar of who to keep an eye out for, her or Jack Farlow.
You almost expect. Jack, go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I expect Jack Farlow. Like, he's the strong guy. And then when they change it to burpees and they change it to strict pull ups, and he ends up coming in fifth, and he's right alongside those guys. I mean, he wasn't ahead of Quant, but he was right up there with them throughout the entire thing. I don't think anybody would have predicted him to be that close to a podium spot. In programming, where I would say doesn't suit him as well. Right.
Yeah. And so, I think you could say the same about James. Like, Jack has that snatch that he got second in. Right. And he got fifth overall, which is great. And I agree. Everything you just said about Jack Farlow, I agree. But like, James has a 265 snatch.
James Spray.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, he was thrilled about it. Right. Great spot for him to make. But he doesn't have that second place in the snatch.
Right.
And he ended up seventh. Like, I think in the games, when it's 13, 14 events, I think James takes more of a jump than Jack Farlow does. But I, especially from what I've seen, like his like strength gains on Instagram, because that's where he struggles. And obviously I can't see Jack's, you know, Jack shows me 30 ring muscle ups. I'm broken. I'll be saying that about Jack. But I think James takes the biggest jump out of everybody 2024. Like 2023 to 2024, I think James will take the biggest jump out of anybody.
Do you think he'll lock for the games then?
Yeah. I think he won't have to worry about it this year.
I don't know. That's not obvious to me. He has the potential to do what you're saying, but it's not obvious to me that he's a lock for the games. I think his fitness is
still broken. And Vidison is?
Who's more likely to make the games, Vidison or Sprague?
Sprague.
Well, you just got done telling me.
Okay, that's fine, John. I was talking about her potential. Your point about Vidison does not disprove. Like, your point doesn't make a point about Sprague. What I'm saying is, do you think he's a lock for the games? And I don't.
I do.
I. It's so one tight
thing
now.
It's one even thing tighter to think than about, it was. Think about Sprague, though. He's now living in the West. I would assume he's going to compete out of.
Yeah, the West has nobody, man. The West is the easiest thing there is to make. I'm joking. Nobody jumped down my throat.
I was scared. I say, I don't feel like that's true.
But Spin does make a point. The East is the hardest conference.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I would say from top to bottom it is, right? And he was able to make it then. And you add back a healthy Saxon. Like, there's some others that are, you know, coming up in the East. I don't know about the same in the West. So I would say Sprague probably has the most. And I think we felt like Sprague was actually kind of on the move up.
Yeah.
Right. And maybe Tier Wadapalooza's finish kind of solidifies that thought and that prediction of, yeah, he's still working his way up. He's doing what he needs to continue to move up that leaderboard.
Do you think Farlow's locked to make the games?
Who?
Locked in?
Yeah.
Yes.
Who was
that? But you don't think Spray is. Farlow. No. I think they both are. I think, like, so for instance, what the original question was is, who do you think will take the biggest jump? I think Farlow and Sprague, what I'm seeing from them, they're making the jump where it's like they're on the line, and now I don't think that it will be a problem. And then potentially they'll be top 17-ish, right? Like, they'll be in that 10 to 18 range, where you know how there's like a slew of guys depending on the programming will get 10th to 18th. Like the Travis Mayer range, right? Mm-hmm. And Travis Mayer's at the top of that list, but you know what I'm talking about, right, Brian? Like there's like eight or 10 guys once you get past the perennial top 10, where it kind of depends on the programming. I think those two take the leap into that tier. And I don't see that from anybody else in the whole competition. Gabby, Ariel, and Danielle, Brandon, Emma Carey are all, you know, perennial top 10, top five athletes.
Here's already. The hard part with the East. If Saxon Panchik is healthy, you have, Jorge Fernandez, he's in that realm. I think he'll be in the competition. I don't know if he'll qualify. And there was somebody else I was thinking of that's
Austin Hatfield.
Travis Mayer, and you have Austin Hatfield. Like you have the East has more athletes now fighting for those spots, and I don't think they're gonna get any more. Right. So if you want to stay in there, you've got to keep out a Saxon, you've got to keep out a Travis Mayer who didn't qualify last year. And if Austin continues to move up, which speaking of, what did you think of Austin this weekend?
He did fine. He didn't do great. He did fine. If he would have just hit, and dude, I know this
great.
I know. Well, listen, hear me out. Hear me out. There was a point before the last day, if he would have just hit 280, he went for 285 and he missed it. And the judge kind of effed him and you know, it's whatever you got to execute. He didn't. It's fine. If he would have just hit 280, 5 pounds less, which I know he's capable of, right? Mm-hmm. He would have been tied for first place going into the last day. Now, obviously, he would have went down, and I did the math on it. He would have been like eighth. I think he would have been eighth place with the same at the end of the competition with that point jump in the snatch. And if he would have got eighth place, I think everybody would be like, dude, Austin Hatfield's going to make the games, like without a doubt, right?
Right.
He just did not execute in that snatch workout, and he's not a good swimmer. And that's two of the five events. And the rest of the events, I thought he smoked. I thought he did fine. You could say he's a poor man's Colton Mertens, but Mertens beat him by 2 points. And I'm saying he did not. He had a lot of rookie mistakes, is what I'm going to say.
I was going to say that lift was. I'm going to say it's nerves. Like you could
well, tell. And they got corralled for 20 minutes, and that hurt him, and the judge hurt him. There was a whole bunch of stuff that happened.
Yeah. Experience. I talked to him about it, and I was like, what happened? He was like, I don't like being corralled 20 minutes before I try to throw up my 1 rep max over my head. He was like, but it is what it is. He said that was what was required of me, and I wasn't practiced enough. And then there was something to do with the plate or something like that, and he was kind of pissy about that one.
Yeah. I would be too. Think about it, because they stopped him right when he was getting ready, right when he went – like right when you're ready about to go, they're like, stop. There's this 1 pound and plate that back. somebody else threw on your platform that you have to now remove. And like didn't start his lift until 30 seconds into the thing. And I just think it doesn't matter because he didn't do it. He got what he got, but it doesn't make me think any less of him. I still think he's going to make the games, and I do think he has top 20 potential. Maybe he doesn't live to that potential. What's the word you want to throw out there? Fandom for him? I think that's the wrong word. I'm going to stop
pushing him so hard.
Yeah, pushing him so hard because he did not earn me pushing him, continuing to push him hard. That's what I'm saying. I'm still
getting off the bandwagon.
I still think he has top 20 potential at the games, and I still think he's going to make the games. It's just two of the five events did not go well for him, and one, his own fault. He's just not a good swimmer, and when 20% of your scoring is swimming, that's rough. And then then another 20%, you kind of get effed on the snatch, which you're supposed to be good at. That's also rough. Then out of three events, he did fine. I think he did fine. I don't think any more highly of him or more lowly of him. I'd stay in the same, which is already pretty darn high. Of Austin Hatfield.
Still on that rookie hill. And speaking of another athlete on the rookie hill, Grace Walton. Thoughts on her?
Yeah, I mean, it's good to know that if she's in a swim, that she's, you know, probably the best swimmer. That's good to know, right?
Right.
I think Tia still probably – I would still pick Tia in a swim.
Depends on what it's paired with. If it's straight up swimming, I would probably take Grace.
Dude, I don't know. Nobody's beaten Tia forever.
She was a competitive swimmer, John.
I know. Tia's beaten freaking all the other competitor swimmers. Doesn't matter.
I think Tia may have been able to beat her in this workout just from the other fitness pieces of it. But swim only, Grace Walden.
You think so?
Yes.
Regardless, she's going to be in the top if it's swimming. I thought she was going to perform a little bit better than she did. I'll be honest with you. It doesn't make me think any less of her, but I don't think more of her. So
gymnastics is obviously her weakest link. Is 6 months, 5 months enough time to improve enough to make it to the games with her in gymnastics relative to the field?
All I know is that she's with Underdogs, right?
Yes, working with Kiefer.
And I think Underdogs is one of the best camps as far as people working on their weaknesses. Oh, Kiefer's in the chat. Look at this. I was talking good about somebody and somebody's in the chat. That's a first, because usually I'm always talking bad about somebody. I think they're one of the best camps as far as, honestly, period. They don't have like the athlete stable that other camps have, but they've shown time and time again that they know how to work weaknesses over and over and over. I think she'll be fine.
She also has her boyfriend, husband.
Zane Shellabert.
Zane.
Yeah.
Who is also hella fit. And so she's got to go train.
And Zane is the most supportive guy in the world. Let me tell you about Zane. Okay. Like, Zane is freaking crazy.
I was standing next to him the last individual event, and I would not be surprised if he sounds worse than Tyler right now. That dude was screaming.
Man. He held up.
He was all in. Like, he was everything. Just pick it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
The greatest guy.
Gracie's just kind of like Hatfield for me. I feel like I was one of the first ones on her and Hatfield both, and
they got to ride that train.
They didn't perform as good as I wanted them to perform because I was so high on them. Whenever you think you're the first of the party and you really want people to do good, to show people, be like, see, I told you these people were monsters, and then they don't like perform to a monster level. It's you wanted them to, but I don't think any less of them.
Yeah. Anything on the bottom side of the coin where you're just disappointed in what you saw?
Nick Matthew didn't have a great competition.
He did not.
I know we kind of thought he wouldn't, Brian. I think you were on the same train with me. One of you two were.
I had him in the top 10.
Okay, so then it might have been. Never mind.
Something for me. He didn't seem – he was, like, just kind of, like, not bothered. He was like, eh. He didn't seem like he gave a shit about it.
Yeah, I mean, talking with him after he hurt his ankle on the run, I mean, he's definitely more focused and worried about the 24 season, which I think everybody is to some degree. So, like you just don't know where some of these guys are, right? Like, where are they in their training cycle? How much are they putting emphasis on maybe deloading for a week? Are they just training through it? Like, a lot of that's really hard to tell. And so I don't know if I really would say too much. The only one I think where I wanted to see better was Olivia Kerstetter. I thought she should have been able to do a little bit better than the 17th spot.
Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, go for it, John.
I'm just saying, are we talking about it?
I mean, what are your thoughts?
I'll bow out. You know my thoughts on this already. Don't you do it.
Yeah, she just needs to get better at gymnastics. And whatever way you want to get better at gymnastics, whatever you think will help you the best at getting better with gymnastics, you need to do that. Would we all agree with that?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's
always good. And you know what I'm saying with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think she finished better at the games than she did at Wodapalooza with a weaker field. I know it's only five events, but she should have that upward momentum. And I think at this age, like, you talk about Nick Matthew, who's been there before. Whether you finish eighth at Wodapalooza or 19th, like, it's not the end of the world. But for somebody who is still trying to gain that experience against the elite field, I feel like you need to put some more emphasis into it. And yeah. So I could be wrong, and maybe she wasn't. Maybe it was just training through it. But I feel like that doesn't help your confidence.
No.
I feel like it's safe to say, like, we expected more of her and we didn't get it.
Yes.
Right. And I think that goes into, like, what's been saying about, it's like, where are you at in your training? Like, did you take time off? Like, all that stuff. But, like, it's fitting in line with what we've seen from the other teen women, which is they have a high moment and then they sort of get backed off a little bit. And maybe it's just because it's like, okay, they get exposed, they go to the games, and they have their hype moment, and then they're like, okay, what are your weaknesses? Because we have all kinds of time to work on that. So they pull back real hard, you know what I mean, and start building base more than other athletes would do. Like, I'm not going to do the same base building with Jake Douglas as I would with her, right?
Right.
Jake's nearing the end of his career, so just get the money while you can. But with her, like, take your time. You got an athlete right here. So,
for sure. There's no pressure on her either.
Right.
Right. Yeah, that's not what I'm saying. And like these people in the comments, like, guys, it's not, she competed in the competition. We thought she would be better. She's not. How would she get better? That's what we're talking about. It's not letting her be, you know, it's not, you know, if she wants to compete competitively, then how can we get better competitively? That's what we're talking about. If she wants to just be, then don't compete.
That's right. These people.
Who you calling these people, John?
I think.
Hey, listen. When Young Jay comes out, it don't matter. It don't matter who these people are. Okay.
Look, if you're out there on the floor, you're competing. I think it's fair to talk about what our
expectations are. You're up for criticism. Yes, yeah. 100%.
Right. Like, we see how well she performed at the games. We weren't even sure a year ago if she was going to be then going teen or the elite field. She went elite. She did great.
Right.
And now we're looking to see if she can continue to build that. You'd expect her to build that with extra time, training with the proven team, training with Hepner. And we just didn't see that. Right. And so, like, if you're looking at who underperformed from our expectations, it would be, I would say it's Olivia, but that's not like the end of the world, right? That means we have high expectations of her. It's not, right. You know,
we all like Olivia. I don't, I don't think we're trashing her at all. I think people are way too sensitive.
Right. So, any closing thoughts, Tyler? Heat one. How'd that go?
I don't know. Well. I mean, is it for me to judge? We just went black. What just happened?
Oh, you want that?
Canceled.
Canceled. We're done.
We're done. they're coming for
lights
us.
Are off.
I don't know. What did you like?
Sporty Beth has come out to
fashion. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's your all's, like, what did you all think? I have my idea of how we did.
I think Spin loved it. I couldn't speak for
sure. It ended very well. I think the tiebreaker could be adjusted, but other than that, I think it's great. Right.
I thought it was awesome, Tyler. I don't know how you make it better. Honestly, like, as far as like making money, like, make people pay $1 for starting a league or whatever, you know, maybe $20. And I think people would still do it. And that's how you make money on it. But I thought it was freaking awesome. Like, I really don't know how you improve it. The speed that y'all get the scores in is money. I don't think people are waiting for, like, things to update. It didn't seem glitchy. You know, like, I don't have anything wrong to say about it. Sure, there's a way that I'm sure people can, like, tweak things to make it more accessible or whatever. But like for me, I don't know how you make it better. And if you just figure out a way to make it better, go you. But
what we're constantly doing is, go ahead, Spin.
Yeah, I think it helps make it more enjoyable to watch, right? It's like fantasy football. You're sitting there, if you watch a football game and you know you have a wide receiver in there, you root for that wide receiver to catch the ball. If you have somebody in as the shot caller to win the event, you watch that athlete and want to see them do well. Like, you have some vested interest in it. It makes it more enjoyable versus just kind of sitting back and watching, like, oh, who's going to win? Like, you have somebody to root for. And that's what I really like about it.
And I think Spin is super underrated because he just won our fantasy football league. And then he just got, you know, tied for first in this fantasy thing.
Yeah, he tries to act like he's not a huge numbers brain.
I know.
He's a finance guy. Of course he's good at this shit.
I'm starting to get real intimidated real quick.
I mean, like, I feel happy. You know, how much I did is negligible. It was all my team. It was all Adam. It was all Aaron. And it was all Ortega.
It was you just being awkward in front of the camera.
Yeah. Doing my best.
Yeah. What was the team decision to make you like the face of it?
Adam was like, I don't want to be in front of the camera. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll take this bullet. And
Aaron Ortega have the camera. So it's
Tyler's life. So I left eye by default. But by the end of the weekend, it started to get better. I was like, okay. It's so different, man. I never thought I'd be someone who's in front of a camera. So here we are.
There it is. Hastrick. Love it. Puts us in the game.
Yeah. We're constantly thinking of new stuff. We only had a couple screw ups. There was a couple moments where Adam was like having full freak out, like it's over. And it's like, we'll never be able to talk about those. But like, it got scary a couple minutes and we navigated it every single time. And so I'm happy from that. I wanted more people to play. But what we learned from that was that you have to talk about this early for a long time. Yeah. Like, and so, I mean, that's where I get help from you guys and from Sevan is like, hey, let's continue to pump the drama up about who's playing, why you should play them, why you shouldn't play them, all those different things. They make a big difference. And that's why I'm so frustrated with the team competition was we didn't, and you can't do that well enough, I think, with the current format. I think there are formats where you can do it better, but it's like, if we really want to care, if we really want people to play and pay attention, we have to put a lot of work into the team competition. So,
yeah.
No, honestly, the individual, like, I was super happy with how that went.
Yeah, like, you'll have it now for semifinals. Like, that'll be great throughout. So, like,
yes.
That'll make those 3 weeks even more exciting and interesting to follow. So good job on that. John, thanks. You still making people strong. JY Barbell.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Awesome. All right, guys. I'm going to go.
Dude, I actually got a fun story.
All right.
It'll be quick. What you got? It'll be quick. There's a girl named Daisy. She's 40s, and she walked into a CrossFit gym like 3 months ago, and her squat was, she couldn't do a squat beginning into CrossFit. And then when she started with me, her max was 75 pounds, and she hit 175 2 days ago, and it was the most awesomest thing in the world. I was so proud of her. And I honestly couldn't believe it. I was hoping for 135. I was like, we're going to put, or 125. I was like, we're going to put one of those big girl plates on. And she was like real intimidated by it. And for her to do 175, like, I was mind blown. And like, she was so happy. And I just, it's more rewarding when you take somebody that's never touched weights before and show them that they're capable of more than they can dream of, rather than somebody who moves great and PRs their snatch. It's so much more rewarding the other way around. Not that it's not rewarding the other way. All right. Melanie, you're a beast and you know it. Okay. You just can't snatch very well. But we're working on it.
Continue to pay for John Young Barbell.
It's very rewarding. It's very rewarding. And I love all of my athletes. But yeah, sorry. I just wanted to give that story out there. She'll probably never see this. She doesn't watch YouTube. She doesn't have social media, but I just wanted to brag on her.
That was a good story.
I just thought that was funny. He said it before he typed in before he said the story.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you for following all the stuff I was doing out there. Sign up for Heat One and listen to John's stories of getting people strong. So until next week, bye-bye.